Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
This is Phil Norris recording for Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Today I am with Jules Mariner. Hello, Jules.
Hello, Phil.
Nice to see you again. We're at Newport Library and we're having a little chat. And Jules Mariner has a very big connection with the Isle of Wight Story Festival, don't you? So would you like to tell everybody what you do with the Isle of Wight Story Festival?
Yeah, sure. So my role really, I have two roles. One is to help program it. So that means finding people who are interesting to come to the festival or who are popular in reading, because the Story Festival is for children and families. We mainly see primary school children coming through, but we do cater for the up to 18s and beyond. So that's one of my roles, is programming. And the other is I do all the graphics and the website upkeep. So that keeps me busy. Oh, and I make the films as well. If you've seen films on Red Funnel, that's me. I do those films, yeah.
I saw those the other day.
Yeah, that's what I do in about August, September time.
So you're a very busy lady, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how long has the Story Festival been going? Because obviously I've just heard about it this year. I've been on the island 5 years myself.
Mm.
And because I'm working with Ian Dickens, that's how I came to come last week and meet Elsie, the winner.
Yep.
Yeah, fabulous story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Well, the Story Festival's been going for, we've just had our fifth year. So we've been together as a team doing this sort of thing for about eight or 9 years now. But we consolidated all of our skills and made the Story Festival. And our first one was right at the beginning of March 2020.
Yeah.
And obviously we all know in hindsight what happened at the beginning of 2020, and we just sneaked under the wire before we went into lockdown. It was literally about 10 days before the first lockdown, and we were over in the Riverside Centre at that point. And then when we came to do the second year, it was all online because we were in lockdown. And the Riverside Centre had turned into the local vaccination place. So we then went for the third year, and in fact, we thought we might be able to get the second year as well, but as it turned out, we did go into a second lockdown. But we've been planning to go to Key Arts.
Okay, yeah.
So that's how we've ended up now at Key Arts. And they've been absolutely brilliant. We really couldn't ask for a more helpful crew of people to help us out, bring the Story Festival to the island. Because we need the theatre, we need a good tech team, we need lighting and sound and all that sort of thing, because we bring quite big productions to the Story Festival, as well as authors and spoken word and workshops and interesting things to do. It's really anything to do with story. I mean, this year we had songwriting, we've had Dungeons and Dragons in the past, we have an author forum, so that's for anybody who, usually adults, who want to be an author, and they can come and ask the Isle of Wight Story Festival authors of that year for any advice. So it's quite far reaching right across the different communities of the Isle of Wight.
And I had a look at the website, and there's so much more, isn't there, that goes on. It's not just stories, people writing stories. It's a whole big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, The actual festival, which is always in at the end of the February half term, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we try and get as many diverse things in as possible. So this year we had lots of different authors. We had the Asian Culture Club, who came in and did an Indian dance, which is telling us all about Shiva.
All colourful.
Oh, it was, yeah, amazing. We had somebody came in and did a stick making workshop, you know, and it's not just on the days as well of the February half term that we carry it through. We also do something called Stories in Schools, which happens in June. And that is where authors go out to schools. So for families or children who are too far away, or they're doing something else, or they sometimes can't afford it to get into Newport in February, we go out to the schools. So we target the schools in Newport, Carisbrook area, and also in the Bay area, and sometimes go as far, you know, northwards into Cowes and, you know, that area.
Not to that other island, though. You don't go over there.
No, you'd need a passport for that. So yeah. No, we don't do that.
And it's, as we just said, it's always nice to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
It's nice to get off the island for a day, but it's nice to come back. Sometimes I jump on the ferry and I go to Southampton, I turn around and I come back, I don't get off the ferry.
Really?
Just out on a 2-hour jolly. It's lovely. So if anybody wanted to get involved with the Story Festival, participant or a volunteer, can they do that? Are you looking for volunteers?
Absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers. And the sort of things that people can do is they can help with the rooms on the day. They can help show people where to go. They can help children doing their colouring or whatever it is that they...
As long as they're DBS checked and all that.
We don't, because their parents are always with them. So children under 12, they have to have a parent with them. So there's no DBS, we don't go through all that. But it's also things like in the organisation, in the run-up to the festival, there's always things to do, there's always decisions to be made. So having extra eyes on things and an extra thought about decisions that need to be made is always really welcome. And of course, if you're a budding author or illustrator or poet, we'd always be interested to hear from you as well. So you can go onto the website, which is iwstoryfestival.com, and there is a contact page on there. You can get to us through that.
I was just going to ask you that. That's a bit spooky. You could read my mind.
Psychic.
Yes. So you don't necessarily have to be creative. You just want to be willing.
Yeah,
absolutely. To help, and then your creativity will be birthed, won't it? And it will come out, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're surrounded by creative people, then that will inspire you to go and do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's really nice to build up a community of creative people, like-minded people who just like stories. And we have storytellers as well, so you know, it doesn't have to be about the written word. This year we had an illustrator who came down from Yorkshire, and she had a really busy workshop, so you know, it really could be literally anything about story.
Wow, and that's history in general, isn't it? That's everything.
Yeah, history.
Everything is a story. I have a story coming in on the bus today. But we stuck at the traffic lights for too long and things like that. That's a story,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, there's a story in everything.
Lovely. Yeah. So give us that website again so people can get involved.
iwstoryfestival.com.
And have you got the dates for next year yet?
It's always the last 3 days of, or the Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the February half term. So I think there is a date being whirled around out there, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay.
As soon as we get to the... that we know definitely what dates the half term falls in, that will be the dates that we book. So keep an eye for that, but it will be on our website fairly soon.
So if you want to help organise and move things around, move people around and help with the whole structure of the thing, then go to the website. If you want to create something and write a story or get involved that way, go to the website.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned budding authors earlier.
Yeah.
And you're a budding author, aren't you?
Well, I'm a fully fledged author.
Fully fledged author. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I wrote my first book when I was at university in 1992, 1993, something like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't get published. It almost got published as I left university. But there were some technical reasons why that couldn't happen, mostly to do with the publishing company. So I carried on just working as an illustrator. I lived in London for a year, then I came to the island and moved here in 96, 7, something like that. Met my husband and had children, and I foolishly thought that I'd be able to have a small baby and also illustrate at the same time.
You're telling a story.
I am telling a story. And I had visions of me painting with my hands and my eyes, and with my foot I'd be rocking the baby in his little chair.
All right, yeah.
And
that
didn't quite happen. So I actually ended up taking about 7 years off, because I had one child and then 4 years later had another. And so until they were both kind of at school or nursery, I was not able to work.
You didn't get it all mixed up and paint the child and rock the paintbrush, did you?
Thankfully not.
Like that thing with the tummy and the head.
Yeah, no. No, so I took 7 years off, but when I'd sort of came back to working again properly and I started up my illustration business again, I discovered that it was possible to self-publish books instead of it being a massive financial outlay, which is what it was in the 90s. You could, Amazon was a thing, so you could actually put your work onto Amazon if you wanted to and start your publishing journey that way. And that's how I started. I self-published, and it was a huge learning curve because I had to learn all about publishing, which is very diverse. But that was 2012, and I carried on making my books and making my stories and going out and selling them and doing school visits and library visits, doing literary festivals and now the Story Festival, and eventually found a publisher, and I now publish. I've worked with them since lockdown, and so 4 years, and I think we've done 4 books together now, including my most recent one, which was my own.
Which was a couple of days ago, wasn't it?
Which was, yeah.
What's that called?
It's called Vincent and the Mermaid. Yeah, he's the same character that was in my very first book.
So you're doing a Stephen King.
I am slightly doing a Stephen King, yeah.
Yes, because so all of his films are connected, aren't they, with the characters?
Yeah. Yeah, so Vincent is a vegetarian vampire, but who hates the sight of blood. And that was kind of the He's in the wrong job. That was his first story, was about how he felt he just wasn't in the right place because all of his brothers and sisters liked chasing cows and drinking their blood, and he didn't like that. So that was what the first book was about. The second book, I thought he was quite a good character vehicle for helping other characters who felt like they were not in their right place. And this is how he ends up with a mermaid. Who loves to bake, but every time she takes all of her cakes and her muffins and stuff to the bottom of the sea to give to all her friends, the cakes just disintegrate and she's left with mush. So
she needs to use self-raising flour.
She's just in a bit of a state. So the story is kind of about how he helps her. But also, my publisher had a really good idea about bringing into it a sort of educational theme, which does run through my other books as well. All of my books have some sort of educational element to them. And we decided we were going to look at the sea floor and the destruction that has happened to the sea floor over the years through dredging and through litter being, you know, plastic pollution and all that sort of thing. So the end of the book is really about what you find on our seafloor around the island and in along the south coast on the Solent seafloor. So the end of the story is about how Vincent and the mermaid can actually make that back into the original seafloor that it could be, and with all the creatures coming back. So yeah, that's
fascinating, because all these animated movies like Toy Story and things, there's great messages in these movies, isn't there? So this will be the same similar thing.
Yeah. Wow. And I was really delighted that I was able to get together with Horsebox Theatre, Joe Plum, who runs that, and he was willing to put on a performance of Vincent and the Mermaid to launch the book. So that's what happened at the Story Festival. He put on a half-hour play of it with lots of... I mean, some of you might have been to that at the beginning of the Story Festival on the Thursday. Lots of people came and played games and saw Vincent, his puppet of Vincent, and the other lady with him, Holly, was Tabitha the mermaid. And it launched the book, so that was really exciting to see my characters come to life on stage, and a great way to launch the book.
So where can we get this book? We need to wrap this up in a second. Where can we get this book?
So the book is available from Medina Bookshop in Cowes, Cowes High Street, number 50, I think it is. And they also publish it, so they have copies of that.
And they're publishing a book of the stories from the Isle of Wight Story Festival.
That's right, yeah. So it's a local book, and it's based on the Solent, and hopefully, yeah, we'll see some more mermaids. Not too many vampire bats, though, hopefully.
So give us the title of the book, and your name is Jules Mariner.
Yeah.
Title of the book again is...
Vincent and the Mermaid.
Vincent and the Mermaid. And the website for the Isle of Wight Story Festival?
iwstoryfestival.com. If you will find a YouTube channel, my Instagram... Facebook.
You're a celebrity.
Page.
You didn't tell me you're a celebrity. I'll have to go and buy a book and get you to sign it now. Jules, thank you very much for your time. It's
pleasure.
Lovely to spend time with you again. And good luck with your book.
Thank you very much.
And please keep us posted any updates for the Isle of Wight Festival. And we'll come along and do more interviews.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing @vectisradio.fm.